Friends, as we turn our hearts and minds to the scripture, let us listen for the word. Receive this reading from Habakkuk chapter 2. What use is an idol once its maker has shaped it? A cast image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in what has been made, though the product is only an idol that cannot speak. Alas for you who say to the wood, wake up, or to the silent stone, rouse yourself. Can it teach? See, it is gold and silver plated, and there is no breath in it at all. But the Lord is in the holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Receive this reading from Proverbs chapter 15. The mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the body. The ear that heeds wholesome admonition will lodge among the wise. Those who ignore instructions despise themselves, but those who heed admonition gain understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility goes before honor. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Spirit and renew us, that we might receive and have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the hearts to understand your way and your word, your good news that shakes out through all the earth. May your word be received now, O God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ayurveda is a word that some of you will have heard before. Anybody? A few hands, yeah, Ayurveda. Ayurveda is fun to say, Ayurveda. Ayurveda is a traditional Indian holistic healing system that pays attention to what we put into our bodies. Not just food, but also images and surroundings and relationships. What do we take in? Ayurveda is a complex system, but it's grounded on a very basic principle. And that is, what we take in to our bodies and into our lives affects our overall health and well-being. This ancient medicine came to mind as I read today's verses from Proverbs. The focus in the text isn't food. Food is a prominent part of Ayurveda, but rather in the text, the focus is on words and messages spoken and received. The body is mentioned in the text again and again. The mind, the mouth, the eyes, the ear are all named. And the line that really struck me, good news refreshes the body. Good news. Who doesn't love good news? It's like a cool drink of water offered on a hot day, or a really nice warm cup of tea in a cold sanctuary. Like, whatever it is that you need, good news feels like that when received. But these days, it often feels like there's an absence of much good news. It feels sometimes like we are sojourning in a dry and weary land, and we can easily become parched. Disturbing news, confusing news, bad news is readily available. And all always popping up on our screens. Screens that go with us everywhere. I recently heard Anne Lamott speak, and she said that children observe their parents carrying around full multimedia empires on their person. The ping or the buzz of our devices functions like Pavlov's bell, eliciting a compulsive need to look. Practitioners of Ayurveda would caution against the imbalances and the dis-ease caused by too steady a diet of screen time and disturbing news. As I did research for today's sermon, I was reminded of the ways that what we simply call the news, especially TV and online news and much of radio news, is really a small slice of what's happening in the world. I'm mindful that we have in our number, even in this moment, a number of journalists and news folk. And I'm so grateful for those of you who seek to report and to do that with intention and integrity. Thanks be to God for you. But I'm mindful also that mainline news outlets, the big business of it, have all sorts of incentives to broadcast bad news. Ratings and ad money are just a couple of the things that lead the big corporations to focus on the things that is going to get the most attention. And then this clickbait and constant stream of upsetting reports gets up in our face anytime we turn on our smartphone or our television or our computer. There's a plethora of data and reports available reporting on the harmful effects of constant connection via mobile devices. The reports that talk about the harmful effects of the steady streaming of negative news. Mary McNaughton Castle, who's a professor at the University of Texas in San Antonio and a leading researcher on the connection between media consumption and stress, is clear that folks who are prone to or suffer from depression and anxiety need to be very, very careful about their intake of the news. She's also very clear that you don't have to be prone to those illnesses to need to take great care. Because taking in the news as it comes to us so often can contribute for anyone to a sense of helplessness. And it can also lead to us gradually seeing the world as a darker and darker place, chipping away at certain optimistic tendencies. This confirms the ancient Indian medicine. What we engage, what we take in, affects us. It changes us, for good or for ill. Our soul food series here at Foundry is focused on things that nourish our lives, things that provide perspective and grounding and energy and hope and encouragement. So far, we've explored the benefits of laughter, the benefits of getting out or engaging with the created world. And next week, you don't want to miss out, because next week it's all about play. Today, we're focused on how to manage our use of our devices and our intake of news and other messages. In the months following the election, I heard all sorts of perspectives on this topic. Some folks said we needed to be more vigilant than ever in staying informed and up to date on what's happening. Others said that the thing to do is to turn it off. Just turn it off because it's too disturbing. There's too much spin, and it's really not helpful anyway. Still others were working on strategies to hover between the all-in or the cut-it-off extremes and sought out measured, balanced diet of solid journalism from several different perspectives. Many of us, of course, don't have a choice to turn it off. That's just not an option. Because our vocations, our jobs, require that we know the headlines, that we stay in the conversation. But even if that's not our reality, for those of us who, like we here at Foundry, are committed to sacred resistance, it's important for us to find ways to stay informed, to know what's happening. We don't want to come to this day and not know what happened in Congress yesterday. We need to know, because we care about the vulnerable. But as I've suggested before, it's also our responsibility to guard against confirmation bias. You remember that? That is to listen to a variety of voices, not only those that confirm what we already believe. We need to stay awake, but we also have to be mindful of the effects of what we are taking in. Just as our bodies need a balanced diet that works with our particular constitution, our psyches and our souls need a balanced diet as well. Feeding ourselves with only bad news will make us sick. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the body. My study Bible says that the light of the eyes refers to the cheerful look of the messenger. Now, how they get there, I have no idea, but that's what it says. In other words, the way the message is communicated makes a difference. And good news refreshes the body is pretty straightforward. I'm frankly obsessed with that line of scripture. Good news refreshes the body. Good news. We need refreshment and we need good news. Refreshes the body. We need to both monitor the intake of challenging news and feed ourselves with good news that's communicated with light in the eyes. So how do we do it? Well, Professor McNaughton Castle suggests that the most important piece of guarding against the negative effects of the news is to what she calls get conscious. She says, get conscious, be mindful. That is, quote, stop consuming news like a hungry teenager wolfs down a Pop-Tart. She says you have to get some control mentally. The more you understand your own reaction to the news, the easier it will be to shape your news consumption habits in an adaptive, healthy way. It's also useful, she says, to see the bigger picture. Consciously focus yourself on the evidence around you that the news is picking out extremes and the bad things. Not always, but often. Keep perspective. McNaughton Castle says, understand that you're seeing a lot of bad news, not because the world is inherently evil, but because news outlets, not to mention individual Twitter and Facebook users, have lots of incentives to broadcast explosively negative news stories. In other words, keep perspective. Keep perspective. Get conscious. We know there's plenty of bad news. I'm not trying to say there's not. Keep it in perspective. Now, I've been trying to practice what I preach in terms of guarding against confirmation bias, and quite frankly, I find it difficult and exhausting. But one resource that I've recently discovered is a weekly newsletter that pulls together reporting on the activities of the past week, activities of the president, from both mainline liberal and conservative news outlets. This newsletter is called Last Week in Trump, the best of both bubbles. And according to the editor, it is, quote, an attempt to cut through all the noise that surrounds coverage of Trump on both sides while also building some badly needed empathy between liberals and conservatives. Isn't that a cool goal? This guy's doing this for nothing, it's free. This is just a thing he's doing. And I found this resource and I thought to myself, thank you, Jesus. Like, I don't have to do this alone. Like, what a gift. So that's some guidance for how to manage the effects of the intake of challenging news, and at least one resource to try to listen to a variety of perspectives. But what about balancing our diet with the good stuff? Well, I am aware of several sources that exist for the purpose of sharing good news. Some of you may already receive the Washington Post's Optimist newsletter. Anybody get the Optimist? Now, see, there should be more hands at Foundry Church on that one. People, we need more good news. There's this thing. I mean, again, like, this is not an advertisement for the Post, but I'm simply saying I'm trying to find resources and share them. So check it out. Something called The Optimist. You can sign up for it. It comes into my email box every Sunday afternoon with good news. I also discovered in my research that there are a couple of other websites, at least two that I discovered quickly. One of them is called Daily Good, and the other one is Good News Network, not to be confused. Not to be confused with the Good News Magazine or movement in the United Methodist Church. It's called Good News Network. It's been around for years and years and years and years, and it is a site which, again, curates good news, inspiring stories, stuff that helps remind us of the fullness of what happens in the world. What is happening all the time. Good news. I've been trying to figure out, and I'm trusting one of you to help me, to figure out a way for one of those websites to be the page that I open up when I turn on my computer instead of whatever it is that pops up now. I mean, do I really need to see another report about a Kardashian? Like, I don't. So how nice would it be to have Good News Network with their fabulous, interesting things popping up first? It's amazing. It is amazing how much flows. Oh my gosh, how many messages have I gotten just in this time? It's amazing how, I mean, do you see that? It's all lit up. Like, it's amazing how much flows through these little devices that we carry around all the time. They're like portals. Portals for so much information, the source of so much truly helpful data. I honestly don't know how I found my way anywhere before I had this thing, honestly, like just lost all the time. I'm grateful for the ways that my phone and various social media apps like Facebook help me stay connected to the people I care about. I love being able to share, even in some remote way, some of the joys and the concerns of family and friends who live far away. My niece graduates today from college, and I can't be there, but this morning we were connecting in a beautiful way on Facebook. I love that. What a gift. And I find that some of those same online applications have helped me get to know many of you better as we've connected via Facebook or Twitter in conversation. The devices and the technologies that we have are so powerful. They allow us to make rapid responses to pressing needs and to help organic movements take shape and all sorts of creative ventures to get financial support and on and on. The apps and the sites are there that even through our phone help us connect with God. So many beautiful ways. I've mentioned one in the past called Pray As You Go. There's other ones, one called Insight Timer or another called Sacred Space. You can go online to Common Prayer, a liturgy for ordinary radicals, and pray the hours through the day, right from there. So much blessing can be received. But as with any gift, the technologies can be used for good or for ill. It's up to us to be mindful, to be conscious of when and how we use our devices. What we take in and what we share through these things affects life, our own and the lives of others. Friends, we do need to stay awake. We need to stay informed. We need to be aware. But we also need big, heaping helpings of good news. Good news refreshes the body. It's soul food. And if we're really paying attention, we know that in God's world, there is always more than enough good news to go around. So why not partake? Why not share? Because God knows we're all hungry, starving.